Our one guest.
Oh! Hi!
Sorry for the little delay. Next on the agenda is approve the minutes of the regular board meeting on November 28th. I'll entertain a motion.
I so move.
Second.
Moved by Linnea, second by Fred to approve the minutes of the November 28th meeting. Any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Do we have any communication?
We have two pieces. First of all, we have that beautiful plant over there. And this card was sent from Northern Door Child Care Center. And it was really just a note of appreciation and thanks for the partnership that we have in our early childhood preschool programs. So I'll just pass that along and I'll bring it back to you when it comes all the way around. So we thank them for that. And then our high school student council sent a thank you card to the members of the board for their help with the holiday dinner. Just appreciate everything you do and every bit helps. So note of thanks for that. And I thank you too for being there. So those are the two pieces I have.
I have one I received tonight. It was dated December 2nd, so I think it qualifies to be read. On behalf of the Wisconsin High School Forensic Association, I extend congratulations to Gibraltar High School Elizabeth Thomas and the cast of the play Tracks for their outstanding achievement at the 216 State Theater Festival, held November 17th to 19th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. They received the All-State Award for their production, commemorating their participation in the state festival. Additionally, the production earned an Ensemble Acting Award. Outstanding Acting, Lola Kummer as Homeless Girl and Sophia Friedenfels as Old Man. I hope your students attended the many educational workshops as well as view other plays that were advanced to the state contest. It was truly a celebration of high school theater. You and your school should be extremely proud of your drama program and the accomplishment of this entire cast and crew who represented Gibraltar High School in such an outstanding manner. I look forward to their continued participation in future festivals. Adam Jacoby, Executive Director.
Nice.
Good. No other communication to the board? Okay, we'll move on to open discussion from the board. Anybody? Season 7.
No, it's this week. I will be traveling. No, I just think that it was in our churches on Sunday, we had the choir visiting. I know Emmanuel did in Billy's Harbor, and it was wonderful to see that outreach and what a great thing it does for our school, for these kids to come in and participate in these services. And I know they did Shepherd of the Bay, and I'm sure they did all of them on the bus and went from place to place. But I just think that's a very cool outreach thing that we do along with that very same week. They did the senior dinner. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Mettner and Mary, I think, Wittenberg are the mm-hmm. two key people.
Really, Mary Wittenberg.
Just such an incredible community outreach thing we do. I just think it's beyond words on how it makes each one of those, not only as I saw in church, but also each member that came to the dinner, how good they felt about it. I just think it's a wonderful thing. So that's
my idea. How many were in the choir?
It was a smaller group than I expected. I was expecting 30, and how many went on? It was, 15? 10, 12. Anyone else see?
They didn't come by us.
Okay. I'll double check, but I kept...
We're too far north. Anybody else?
Middle school play. Thank you. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Mrs. Tripp and Ms. Bumison did a fabulous job with the kids. It was a great job.
Oh, good.
And we have Elaine's, she did a little video montage of pictures with music. We've got it up on Facebook, so
okay.
drawing lots of visitors. So, yeah, great event.
Anybody from the audience? Mr. Mettner.
I have just wanted to share some information on scholarships. The Scholarship Inc. Group had some totals from last year. It's 2016 Gibraltar grads were given scholarships totaling $29,700 with an average student per student amount of $4,950. It says Gibraltar graduates receive 43% of their funds that are available to Door County students. So obviously our kids are doing a really great job. Since 2013, the Scholarships Inc. has awarded our students $70,190 in scholarship funds. So I just wanted to share that with the board. Thank you.
I think it's appropriate too to commend Chelsea Roberts for all the work that she does with our students to help them through that scholarship process and make sure she's getting them every opportunity possible to work on scholarships. And Mary Granchek, thank you for all of her organization and hard work she does behind the scenes for that as well. So thank you for that.
Good. Anybody else? None. Hearing none. Moving on to your superintendent reports on school events. We're behind me, huh?
I asked the administrators to. The theme this month is the work that we're doing on PBIS, positive behavior intervention support. And I'll wait if it pops up.
Is that okay?
I'm closing in here.
Is that too dark, everybody? It's a little dark.
If I get too close to me, just push me.
Oh, no. You're
fine. As I keep going back.
Does anybody have a QR code for that?
I think we may have the incorrect input.
I think it's still thinking. Menu. There we go.
Yes. So before, so is the next slide one of you starting?
Yeah.
Okay. So before they start talking about what we're doing with positive behavior intervention support, as you know, when we talk about response to intervention, it's a triangle. And half of the triangle is about academics. And we focus a lot on the reading and math part of the triangle. What we need to focus more on, and what PBIS has brought, as well as Tim and his team and all the work they've been doing, and as our building principals are spreading it throughout the building, we're really focusing on the other side of the triangle as well, which is the behavioral side, because we need to be able to. What I always say is, you know, if students don't know how to behave, and I'm talking elementary, if they don't know how to behave appropriately, we teach them what that looks like and how to behave appropriately. Just like if they can't, they don't know how to read, we teach them how to read. And we really have to focus on this as being something that students can learn and get better at, and something they can practice. And there are different levels of students who are doing well with that, and others who need a lot more help and support to get them through. But as we're thinking about the social-emotional half of the triangle, which we know your social-emotional health has a direct impact on your learning too. Those pieces all fit together. So as we're focusing on that this month, I just want the board to think about the impact that positive relationships have on students and their learning. And I brought John Hattie, as some of you may know him. He wrote this book, Visible Learning and Visible Learning for Teachers. It's 15 years of research. He's looked at all the factors that go into student learning and what the impacts are for each of those factors. More than well willing to loan out these books to you, just know that this is a really dry, difficult read. and I use it more as a resource than anything. But it's very interesting because of the 138 areas that he looked at, the importance of student-teacher relationships came in at number 11. The relationship between the teacher and the student has a tremendous impact on that student's learning. And you'll hear quotes from him all the time, and the one that's probably the most popular is know thy impact. Know that we have control of the impact we have on our students. And so I asked them to really focus on the PBIS side, the social emotional side, and give you a little bit of background and update on where we're at. So, did I leave anything out, Mr. Mullering?
Nope, okay. It's fine. In this report, we're going to first talk about our PBIS update, and then Sean will speak to a RTI update. So, if you can remember way back to the summer, our PBIS team, I'm going to talk about the elementary first and then the secondary school. Our elementary PBIS team selected the following goal: reduce the percentage of referrals recorded as assault or physical aggression or endangering behavior at recess by half. So that would be a reduction to 27% by the end of December second or trimester one. We selected this because it was a really natural spot in the year where we could start talking about our playground, because of the new playground equipment, and because it is also where a number of our behavior referrals do occur. So we always want to make sure that we're addressing areas where we can have a great impact. So some interventions that we did to help achieve this goal. We had a beginning of the year recess kickoff event where we covered a number of rules. We went into individual teacher classrooms and presented to students about some playground behavior, appropriate playground behavior. We implemented a way for recess supervisors to communicate back to teachers and administration when there was an issue out at the playground. They currently don't have access to the computers out on the playground, and we can't get our referral system, the Skyward system, on a phone yet. So we have a paper way of making sure that that communication is happening. We shared information with teachers on how to discuss and resolve recess issues with students. And we also implemented a Tier 2 recess behavior program with selected students. So, results. We saw an increase of referrals from last year to this year, and that's not unexpected. I use the double negative there because I didn't want to say we expected an increase of referrals. But however, it is important to know that there is an increased awareness and easier communication. It may mean that we're getting more referrals because we're getting an easier communication between teachers, students, playground staff, and administrators. Our goal, out of 20 referrals on the playground, 8 of them were for assault, physical aggression, or endangering behavior. So we missed our goal by 1.5%. But it is a pretty big decrease in percentage of those referrals that were labeled assault, physical aggression, or endangering behavior.
How does the total number compare to previous years?
It is, I can't tell you how, I don't know off the top of my head, it is up probably about 20%. I would have to give you a ballpark figure.
Of the total referrals?
Total referrals on the playground.
How about the 8 assaults?
Yep.
Is that up as well?
No, that's covered in this data. Oh. This is down. So that's down.
Well, it's down as a reduction from the overall number.
Yes.
But
yes.
The number 8, were yep. there more than last year?
There's less than last year. So in the secondary school, we have a different goal. The goal for the secondary school is that 90% of freshmen and sophomores will report that there is at least one teacher in the school that they can talk to if they have a problem. We selected this because relationships, as Tina stated, relationships with students are a strength, or I'm sorry, there is a strong correlation between positive student-teacher relationships, as Tina mentioned, and also, as you'll see in some of the data that we'll show you, by grade 12, our relationships with our 12th graders, our student-teacher relationships, are very strong and are reported as a strength as compared to other school districts. And what we want to do, and I'll show you the slide, what we want to do is so here's Gibraltar students compared to Door County students, schools in blue, and CESA 7 schools, all CESA 7 schools in red. So by 12th grade, we're getting above 85%. 11th grade, we're a little above, but pretty much even. 9th and 10th grade, for some reason, are lower than the surrounding schools. But then you look at 8th grade, and that's back up. So we are doing something that we are able to build very strong relationships with students, but it seems to be taking a while. And we're trying to look at how we can facilitate that quicker for students.
Have you ever taken it to the next step to see which teachers are formed? And not that that's necessarily something for an open session, but if there are certain teachers that are building those relationships more so than others, what are they doing?
Right. Right. So a couple of interventions that we've started. September, we started the idea of appreciation notes, and so teachers are writing and giving feedback to students about things that they do that are over and above and beyond, and highlighting those students, and then there's a weekly or a monthly drawing where those students get a simple prize. But the powerful part about this that makes this different from many programs is that we give those students those notes back. And so it looks like a postcard. So once a month, these students see that feedback and get that feedback back to them. The group is, our PBIS team is also tracking which teachers are writing those notes and which students are getting those notes as another data point to look at which students are receiving them. And is that having an impact with those students, and which students aren't receiving them and maybe could benefit from receiving them as well. In the last in-service day in the secondary school, the secondary PBIS team led some in-service, some professional development for their colleagues. We did an activity that's called relationship mapping, and basically what it was is taking your entire secondary school enrollment and putting their in each student's name up on the board, and putting the boards up around the gym, and having teachers go and make a put a red dot by a student who they think has some struggles in school, or you could determine is at risk, maybe fail the class, maybe they know that the student doesn't have a very positive home life, and then also put a yellow sticker next to students who they feel they have a very strong and trusting relationship with. So it identifies kids on both sides, kids who are might be at risk and we might not know about, and also kids who have strong relationships with some adults in the building. And so the two things that generally come out of that are we find kids that normally fly under the radar and aren't identified as at risk, but might have social things going on that we can help them with. And it also helps teachers share information about students. And that's the power of an activity like this, is in the collaboration that occurs amongst teachers. So we brought this forward to the teachers. Then I went to a building leadership team meeting in the secondary school, and the building leadership team is asking the secondary PBIS team to bring this discussion back, and they've asked for to start having grade level meetings on a 3-week rotation about students in each grade, and talking about specific students and how we can help them, and also strategies. They want strategies to help students in general that are termed at risk, and how we can reach out to those students. So I think it's important that the teachers want to talk about this issue, and they also want strategies to use. So that is all for our PBIS update. Those are two things that we discussed for trimester one. In the elementary school, we're going to be looking at a goal. we're going to relate it back to the playground again, and it's going to be about reducing the entire number. The secondary school, this will be our goal for the entire year, and because we won't be able to measure it until the end of this year. So, but I'm really happy with the work that our PBIS team is doing. I feel like we're in a spot where everyone is on the same page. Our meetings run very smoothly, and people are seeing the power that this type of short-term goal setting can accomplish. With that, I will turn it over to Sean to talk a little bit about RTI.
RTI, we've spoken a lot about that over the course of time. We know that it's response to instruction or response to intervention. It was an effort put forth by DPI a number of years ago. I believe this is the fifth year that we've been working on this, and now we're continuing to refine it. The purpose of RTI was to look at classroom instruction, make sure that differentiation was occurring within the classroom, and then the state wants to see a reduction in the numbers of special education students being referred to make sure that we're truly identifying those kids of need. Over the course of time, it's difficult to put together specific numbers of students or statistics similar to what Mr. Mulring has, because the number of students through the RTI system that has been implemented is down now to those kiddos that have IEPs. There's just a handful of other kids that we are meeting on frequently, every 6 weeks or so, about intervention. So without getting too specific with data, we don't want to have any kind of triangulation to bring it back to those students. That's showing a significant change of how many kids were identified earlier with the criterion that was set up locally, to now where we're looking at those kids of the highest need. There'll be more reports on the special ed caseloads and such coming up in January. So the next piece of RTI, in order to assist us in better curation of data to support PBIS and or the other kids in RTI, is a product called EduClimber. EduClimber is a tool that will pull information from STAR, Wisconsin Forward, or ACT testing, Mobi Max, all of the different tools that we use to monitor student progress. We're going to be able to look at all kids in the district, and they're going to be able to pull all of the information that we can come into data meetings, SAIL meetings, all of these different meetings to say, how are these batch of kids doing? Are they making progress? Are they not? Look at standards and really, really kind of refine our practice even more with RTI. With that being said, we are moving forward to the implementation of this. Most of the information is already in a folder, a Google shared folder with EduClimber, that their IT department's working with us to make sure everything is squared away. Just about everything is in that folder, and it will be completed by Christmas vacation. Then we have three individuals, Brian Garion and Mrs. McMurray, will be going to a training on 16th and 17th to bring information back to the RTI team to how we can further then plan for PD to unveil this to the teachers. And that will be shared with the RTI leadership team on the 20th. And then real quickly, the SAIL meetings. We meet approximately every 6 weeks. Interventions are needed to run approximately in 6 week increments to see if the children are making growth. And are they progressing towards the next goal? If they are, great. What are the next steps? If they aren't, what happened, and how do we try to catch the kiddos up? The dates listed there are the dates for the year that we are have had some of the SAIL meetings, and we also have some others coming up January 24th as well as the 26th, and then in March as well, and then finalize the year in June. The June meeting is really important so that we have a real clear understanding where kids are that we've identified, so that way when the kids come back on the first day of school the following year, we can immediately begin with those interventions in reading and math again, or potentially in behavior now as well. So that is RTI in a nutshell.
Thank you.
guys. Next agenda item is your first reading of 17-18 secondary course handbook.
It is that time of the year again, and Dr. Mettner is here. Of course, has been working in collaboration with Chassie Roberts. As you know, the secondary course handbook requires two readings before the board can approve it. So I believe Dr. Mettner is here to talk to you about any changes that might be occurring in the book. And I think you have a guest to assist you.
I do. Does everyone have a copy? I realize that I think everyone probably has this. So, okay. What I'd like to do is I'd like to skip right to the FIED part and introduce Ms. Reedy, who is our new FIED teacher, if you recall, this year. And she's been doing a wonderful job, and I'm going to let her explain to you how she plans to and would like to kind of, she's making the program her own. So I'll pass it over to you, Ms. Reedy.
Thank you. This is my first time getting to stand at a podium being a PE teacher, so I'm kind of excited for that. Sorry, Evelyn, you have to come on. I'll share later.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so yeah, I'm Sandy Reedy. This is my first time at a school board meeting, so I'm glad that the crowd is a little bit small, so I need to rely on me. What I'm proposing, we have four courses right now for high school electives, which are set up just great. But I've been doing, I actually took one of my grad school courses in curriculum design. It's really kind of sparked my interest, and I was looking for ways that I can make it more prevalent, the courses that we have here at Gibraltar, more prevalent to not only our kids, but also to kind of the needs of what our society is like now. What I'm proposing is I want to kind of move our courses more towards a standards-based program. Yes, we do have standards for PE. I know it's not just climbing a rope to the top of the ceiling anymore. Right now, we kind of have standards one-based activities and courses, which is kind of like doing the activities, and I want to move it more towards standard five, which is the student values physical activity for challenge, health, enjoyment, things like that. So on the sheet that I handed you, right now we have four courses that the students can choose from. The first one is team sports, which is the traditional football, basketball, things like that. A lot of the athletes love that class, and I definitely want to keep it. It's a great way for kids to be active and for them to have a good competition. So that one would stay the same as you see on the first page. Second one down, competitive team sports. The other one that I would keep the same is the weight training class. Another good way for students to kind of be active in the weight room since you've got the nice facilities. We're really lucky, and I'm lucky to have not only the weight room, but the park and all the equipment that you guys have here. It's nice. So definitely utilize that. Keep weight training the same. The next two are slight changes from what we currently have. Right now, the third one down, it says lifetime sports. That would be the name of the new course, which would be replacing individual sports. Changing the name to lifetime sports because the whole purpose of this is getting more kids to enjoy activity, not just in PE and not just in high school, but hopefully beyond that. Most of these kids, how many of you have played dodgeball since you graduated high school, or flag football, or floor hockey? Maybe a couple, okay, maybe. But for the most part, those things aren't really things that you're going to do in your 20s, 30s, 40s. Although there are some adult dodgeball leagues. My fiance actually refs one. So it is there. But I want to replace it with more lifetime activities that they're actually going to do, that they can find in this area, or maybe in college, or as adults. So the lifetime sports would focus kind of towards the activities I underlined: golf, archery, tennis, bowling, cross-country skiing, badminton, spikeball, which is a new game. I just got some here. It's pretty cool. Disc golf, which I've been communicating with the YMCA about getting some. I don't know if you've ever done that, but getting some of the cages. I know we have one or two in the equipment room outside. But I talked to them. They're all open for a partnership of putting in a course and talking with Peninsula State Park. That'd be kind of long-term. But ideas like that for the lifetime sports. Hopefully get kids a little bit more interested that maybe aren't athletes to enjoy sports that they can do, out of high school. The next change would be switching the class body conditioning to personal wellness. Even as a PE teacher, I heard body condition and I was a little scared. You hear body condition, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? You know, it's going to be, yeah, pretty intense. And some kids like that, and that's great. But even if we, you know, change the name and make it a little bit more personalized, students would be creating SMART goals so they can have, we can have a program tailored to each student, not just one body conditioning class where they all have to, you know, work super intense. We can kind of, you know, if somebody wants to work on their vertical jump, somebody wants to work on cardiovascular endurance, we can kind of individualize that. The next two are completely new programs. So again, we'd be switching from four course offerings to six. First of these is Lifetime Fitness, which is getting more non-traditional forms of fitness for our kids. This is the one I'm most excited about. Definitely a way for us to get kids to enjoy activity that don't, maybe necessarily don't enjoy it now. Actually, during conferences, I had one girl come up, her parents, and they said, I'm not going to use her name, but Sammy, you know, Sammy hasn't enjoyed PE since kindergarten, and she actually likes coming to your class. And it's definitely, it's not a student that's probably ever been in athletics, you know, but she loves doing these class activities that I'm trying. Like I've done Tai Bo, Zumba, things like that. Actually, I wish Britt was here. I have Max in that class, and you can ask him if he enjoyed Zumba, and he'll just, no, no. But he was up there dancing, and he created a routine, and it was amazing, and I wish I would have videotaped it. So it is fun stuff, and most of the kids enjoy it, even if they won't admit it. So that would be a new one. Again, Lifetime Fitness activities that, you know, like things that they might try at the Y, stuff like that, but that I teach them here so they have the knowledge to do it. The last one is also brand new. I'm excited for this. It'd be a class, mostly a non-activity class, which is a little different for PE. And I haven't talked to Garen completely about this, but maybe it'd be on like an approval basis to make sure the kids are actually serious about this. They're not just trying to get out of physical activity. But it'd be a careers and health, exercise, fitness, or sport class. You know, if they're interested in becoming a trainer, PE teacher, best one, an athletic director, wellness coordinator, nutritionist, sports marketing, all these things. Most of these I've had a little bit of experience in, and through like lessons, speakers, PowerPoints, things like that, we kind of have the kids learn about these different careers. So kind of get them interested in a field if they are. I know the turnout probably wouldn't be too large, but, you know, if we offered it once a year and had five or six kids that we could get interest in, I'd call it a success. So those would be my proposal for the six new courses. Not sure completely logistics. I talked with Chelsea Roberts on scheduling and things like that, and she said it can definitely be worked out. We would only offer some courses for one semester so that it wasn't, you know, I wasn't teaching six courses each semester. You know, we'd have numerous sections one semester and so on. Do you have any questions on that?
Just one comment.
Yeah.
Talk to the local warden, and he would love to work with you with the archery program.
Okay, great.
Oh, nice.
I got scared when you said warden.
Yeah, me too.
Did you mom put something down? I'm like, I don't think there was anything in there.
Yeah, it's like, weird.
I know. Make me nervous there. Yeah, that'd be great.
Some people are afraid of archery, but there has been zero incidents this whole USA.
Yeah, and there's the PE program. It's called NASP. It's the National Archery and Schools Program. And I mean, there's not really any way you can go wrong with that. Any other questions?
Good.
Thanks for including the career.
Thank you.
I think it's a great thing for kids.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Very new. I would like to commend Ms. Reedy for her work in kind of giving. She didn't come to me with these proposals back in the spring. You know, she was very open to looking at what we had, getting to know our students, and then looking at how can she expand. And I think I'm very proud of the work that she's doing to bring all of the standards, you know, into the curriculum. And I'm also very proud. What you're hearing, you know, is a teacher who's driven to build those relationships, personalize, and get more kids excited about Phi Ed. And as a former electives teacher myself, you know, that's what building a program is all about, and I'm just very excited. And so thank you, Ms. Reedy, for coming in. You're certainly free to go if you need to.
Thank you.
We kind of skipped around, but I wanted to get her up first. If you look on the teachers proposed updates. I want to give both the teachers and Chelsea a lot of praise for what is, it has been since I got here, a pretty seamless process. Just to let you know, kind of the way it works, Chelsea reaches out, the teacher sends some proposals directly to her, then we meet, and if there are any red flags, which there occasionally are, like for example, when I hear six courses, then we say, okay, well, let's make sure that we can, you know, make this work. And the way that that we're making it work, if you approve it for Ms. Reedy, is by offering it at different times, right? And having some that would be standing team sports kind of thing both semesters, but others that she would offer at one, you know, one-time basis. Oh, by the way, big props for the career-related mm-hmm. thing, too. I think that's a whole new avenue in physical education that I'm excited to see. But then once we work through some of those potential red flags, then the document kind of filters down. You know, I read through each of them and then look over them with her. And then it comes to this point, obviously, for your feedback on this first reading. Most of the updates and changes that you'll see here are entirely related to curriculum updates. And so I would say for your first block of art courses, they reflect the needs of either the new course, for example, in creative photography and the limitations based on that, or when you look at like some ceramics and sculpture, adding a prerequisite, this is our teachers doing the curriculum work of identifying issues that they're having in their courses and making recommendations based on that. And I wholeheartedly support the things that are being brought forth. Does anyone have any questions with the art updates? Okay. Looking at the computer applications, these are just, you know, very simple things, removing textbooks. The Spanish group, I met with them on Wednesday or Thursday of last week, just to kind of touch base. You know, they're very interested and have been working hard at kind of revisiting the Spanish curriculum, making sure that what they expect students to do on a proficiency basis are being met in the Spanish 6th, 7th, and 8th grade ABC units, as well as that aligns with what they're expecting students to know going into Spanish 2, as well as if they need to retake the Spanish 1. And so they're working very hard at that. Looking forward, we are probably going to get to a point where they will be requesting to revise. They are exploring right now, making sure that the actual proficiency test matches, you know, kind of some of the new directions in Spanish or in language acquisition related to performance and not just, you know, checking boxes, that sort of thing. I would expect to see there, I'm working with them right now on that, but that won't impact our courses or anything at this time. But at a certain point when we're prepared, I'd like to bring you some ideas, you know, to revisit that. I think it's very good work that they're doing. Again, the shop fees in the shops, we haven't collected fees. Evelyn, as long as you've been here, from what I understand, on the shop fees, and so it just made sense at a certain point to update the language, and, you know, students who have to purchase materials for their various projects, they do that on an individual basis, and Dwayne does a very nice job of facilitating that. If we turn the page over, I think the biggest addition in the technology education is the home building construction project returning to us. Do you remember what was called DKBEP, Dorkiwani Business Education Partnership? Mm-hmm. That organization has been dissolved and has been reborn as Grow Door County as a group of the, or division still of the Door County Economic Development Council. They still have some degree of independence. I'm still serving on that board in an advisory capacity from the school perspective, along with Bob Nickel from Sturgeon Bay is at them most of the time as well. And one of the things that group really wanted to bring back was the idea of the home building project. If you don't know, there were some real difficulties in the solvency of that at a point, as well as some issues with who was going to teach it and how. What they've decided to do and have been working on, the tech ed teacher at Sturgeon Bay has worked to become certified in the vocational ability to teach that course through NWTC, and they're ready to offer it again this fall. They have a beautiful lot somewhere in Sturgeon Bay that they're very excited to, they're working on purchasing right now with some of the funds that are carrying over from DKBEP. and then they look to really kind of growing that that program over time. Obviously, I'd love it if they were building a house on Gibraltar Road, because I worry about our kids traveling, but I also know that it's a great opportunity for some kids who are very excited about the construction trades. And I would ask that you accept putting that back into the handbook and making it an opportunity for our students. The cost will range between $1,400 and $1,900 per student, depending on the amount of students that they get. And so I think we would want to count on a $1,900 per student cost in our budget proposals going into next year if we get students who make that course request, in the hopes that it would end up being less than that. They will get 12 credits instead of the previous 16. And if you notice, and there's one thing I want to make a note of for the on the first reading, in your packet on page 26, the home construction project credit says 4 credits for that. It's not a typo, because students are expected to be there before, you know, and have their extra work allotted to it. But what I would propose, because, and I spoke with Chelsea about this, I was on my final read right before tonight that I caught it, I hadn't seen it before. I'd like to put TBD in that right now for our first approval for you, so that we can make sure we look into it a little better to make sure that that aligns what we believe a credit is worth. Because it may not be 4, it may be 3, I don't know. But again, I hadn't caught that until just now, so I'd ask if we could put TBD in the hopes that by the next board meeting for your second approval that I would have that, be able to explain that better. Again, I caught it today after school. I just didn't feel comfortable saying 4 without having anything to back that up in case you asked the question. If you look at the math updates that are there, a lot has to do with does anyone have any questions about the home building project?
I hadn't realized we dropped it.
Well, it wasn't offered. What happened was they stopped. And so I can say just personally, you know, my own point of view, the meetings from, you know, we just saw most of the same people are there, but there really is a renewed sense of purpose there. And I think a lot of it has to do with the Academic and Career Planning Initiative, that they are going to be offering our schools this Inspire add-on program that will allow for remote career mentoring for our students. It could be something that I think they're very excited about it. If we get buy-in from businesses in a big enough way to be a part of that program, it could be a really great opportunity for our kids that hopefully will expand to all of Northeast Wisconsin. So if a student is very interested in paper science, you know, they're not, no one in Door County, you know, is making paper, right, or maybe, you know, on an artisanal level, but, you know, they might be able to connect with somebody down in Green Bay at Fort Howard or something and have that ability to learn where the schools are and so on and so forth. So
do you foresee the need to, as part of the handbook, the need to limit the number of students available for the home construction
project? In speaking with Chelsea and Dwayne, I think our number will be so small that we may not, but that's a very good question. I don't know if, does the board have any insight from past years in terms of, you know, is that going, should that be a need?
Usually if it was one or two.
And that was the message I was hearing too. You know, they have some lofty goals of having 15 students in that program. And I certainly hope they can do it, because it's hard to build a house with just a couple of people.
They have, but I know Gibraltar generally in Sebastopol.
Yes, it's just the Door County schools now. Mm-hmm. You know, Kewaunee is now no longer a part of this initiative. Mm-hmm.
Algoma is already.
Yes.
It's possibly to put in a little language that.
No, actually, they're not a member of that. It's just Sturgeon Bay.
So it's Sturgeon Bay, and that's why we didn't have anybody.
Right. Sturgeon Bay, Sebastopol, Gibraltar. Washington Island has the option, but it's very unlikely. And then what did I forget? Southern North.
Dr. Mettner.
Yeah.
Chelsea could work on some language that talks about enrollment may be limited based on funding availability or something to that effect.
Where the total number? I know we never had.
I think we had 3 or something.
That was the most I ever seen.
It just protects you from all of a sudden you have.
Well, and I'm not going to lie, hearing something, you know, like a credit a program where students are traveling to, you know, it throws some flags in my head that says, are they going to be able to get their English and their social studies for credit requirements and so on and so forth. Now, I know we've worked that out in the past, and I in no way want to stand in the way of students being able to do that. But, you know, having the option to, you know, limit is a good idea. I will have that language added in for the second reading. Thank you. Okay. Math, of course, we have our new textbook for which they are very, very grateful and very excited. And I think what you're starting to see as a result of that is some of these changes related to changing the name of math analysis to pre-calculus. You know, and just it's the idea of updating these things to match what hopefully will be a very successful sequential 7 through 12 curriculum. I've heard that they're you know, I'm going to be talking to you at the winter retreat about some credit card, report card. It's kind of the same thing. Report card challenges that we are facing as a district, as a 7 through 12, really, and how we're going to address that. And I think the math department has recognized some of the areas in which they would really like to, you know, kind of dive into related to preparation for various ACT tests and other things. They're going to attend an ACT seminar, and they're also, you know, they're still learning all the facets of this curriculum that they've basically bought into. There's a lot of opportunity for RTI and other, you know, other options that are built right into the text, things that the students can access from home and so on and so forth. And I think that's only going to grow, and I'm glad that we have the math book in place now rather than asking for it to have it next year, because I think it gives the teachers an option to rather than have to say, well, next year we'll start. They're going already. And so, you know, when they got the news that they're not quite where they want to be, and they've you know, they're very excited about the future and using the math curriculum. So that's what you would see reflected there. And then, of course, Ms. Reedy's proposals. And then humanities, the humanities course is not asking to change the content of the course, however, asking to change how the content of the course is delivered over the course of the semester. All of these, there are some things that I will say that were requested and that are not in here. There were some discussions that happened, you know, that were good, and I'm very happy about them. And I think the others would you know, who were involved in those conversations would agree. Some things were saying, let's press pause. Some things were saying, you know, maybe this isn't the right time, or let's think about this in a different way. And so these managed to move through. So I would ask for your approval on a first reading, with the amendments being changing the credit to TBD at this time for this approval, and giving me the time to really dig into that. And that I'll take full credit for not having that prepared for tonight, and I apologize. Also to accept that the second reading, I will add a possible, some sort of limitation type verbiage to the construction trades program.
As I look at the mathematics flowchart.
Yeah.
The names that you put on this are not falling through to that. Not a big deal, just...
What page are you on,
please? 27.
Yes,
so math,
okay.
Would be math analysis.
Yep.
Maybe some numbers in it. So not a big deal. Just
no, thank you.
Consistency. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Flowchart. I'll make sure that that's fixed before the second reading.
Thank you.
If that's all.
Any other questions?
No.
Corrections? Thank you, Dr. Mittner.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Being a first reading, we do not vote on it. Until the second reading.
I would just ask if anything comes up, if you could just email me, as well as copying it to Dr. Mittner, so we can discuss it and be ready for the second reading in January.
Good. Next on the agenda is determine place, date, and time for the board winter retreat.
As you know, we hold two retreats a year, one more towards the beginning of the year, and then one in the winter. And the winter retreat most typically includes executive session, where we talk about employee matters. So right now we're trying to determine what date would work best for you. Last year we held our retreat February 29th, so I would ask that we continue to look at
the end of February or more into March. I know that there are some board members that will be gone in February. So looking at the March calendar, our board meetings, our board meeting is the 13th. Of course, we'll be looking at canceling the 27th, but that'll be on the next agenda since that's during spring break. So we have the 13th.
February is
of March.
March. So we have March 13th, which is the regular board meeting. So my recommendation would be either the week of March 6th, somewhere along there, or the week of March 20th. So if the board wants to discuss maybe those 2 weeks, and it, hopefully we can get the majority, if not all of you, here during one of those 2 weeks.
My preference would be the week of the 6th.
I looked it up. I leave the 18th and get back the 28th.
Okay. So the week of the 6th seems
March.
Like the best.
March.
So the week of the 6th.
Best, yeah.
Has anyone gone the week of the 6th?
March.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a board meeting.
No, the 13th.
I should be here.
You should be?
You want to be?
Might be here.
I need a little bit more definite answer.
I'm pretty sure I'll be here.
Maybe. Does it matter what day of the week that week?
That's what I was gonna ask. Monday good or every day better?
Wednesday usually works pretty well for that, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's no activity.
It's not the second Wednesday, so.
So
is the second Wednesday the 8th? Is the second Wednesday of March?
Wednesday, March 8th?
Pardon? Wednesday, March 8th is the second Wednesday of March.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm sorry.
No, that wouldn't work for me.
That won't work
the
for you?
The 8th, that's a CISA, is the second Wednesday.
Okay.
Of March.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me.
Let's do Monday.
Does anyone have any
the 6th. How about that?
Sounds.
All day?
Hope not.
Wow.
Thank you.
Send me up there. You guys all heard that, right? well, I'll feed you, I do promise.
So we're talking like 9 o'clock-ish, 8, 8:30, 9.
Let's get going at 5:30.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
At 9:30, no, this isn't fishing.
When working people get up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, like Brad's a morning person before you know.
Ow.
Whatever. What do you want to do?
9 o'clock is fine with me. I'm here.
Fred,
I'm already here.
What time do you learn it?
It doesn't matter to me.
The time gives me about 2.5 hours before you get hungry and I have to feed you. Right?
Hour after lunch.
Yeah.
Hour nap. Working lunch.
Okay.
In the afternoon.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock sounds good.
9 o'clock on the 6th.
March 6th. Okay. March 6th.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Appoint a delegate to the WASB assembly.
Yes.
Wendy, were you the rep?
No, Suzanne was.
Suzanne was.
Mm-hmm.
You were the alternate, though, right?
I was.
Did you rep in training?
Trained
the last
year.
Oh, boy.
Would you be willing to do it again?
I didn't go.
You didn't go.
So I have no more experience than any other person would
have a good day
or may
training.
Have.
And it may help to know that the actual delegate assembly is on Wednesday, January 18th at 1:30.
And then there's a training session in the morning for whoever would like to.
So
we
would need to be
on
Wednesday.
Would you be willing to?
Okay, apparently I'm being
coerced. Is it railroaded?
Yeah.
Would it be nice to have someone to go along with you?
Lynn, would you be willing to be alternate?
I didn't go to it last year with Suzanne was because there were good sessions to go to. So that was my...
That's a drawback
so.
Of it.
Yeah. So, yeah,
did
I'll
you
go.
Work with Suzanne on all the questions? So
well, and those come
no.
to the board at the next meeting.
Yeah, and then I think they're kind of... Yeah, they have.
I'll give you a list.
I just have.
Oh,
I'll do.
Yay.
It's all of them.
Oh, did you get those too, Mr. Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
They sent them
okay.
to you.
I would suggest
fine.
Going over it and bring to the board in January, ones you think we should talk
about.
We don't have to talk about probably three quarters of them.
I think what the one thing that I've learned through the years is that most of these, albeit legislation is important, most of them don't pertain to our small school district. So, but we'll see if any do.
Very good. Thank you, ladies. Approve payment of bills.
I so move to approve payment of bills.
Second, please.
Second.
Moved by Linnea, second by Lynn. To approve payment of bills. Any questions on those? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any donations?
I have two donations. First is from the Friends of the Peninsula State Park for the Eagle Tower fundraiser. Actually, this is a flip because our elementary students raised
and secondary students
raised $140.12 for the Eagle Tower fundraiser.
Oh, nice.
It's so, gotta be built.
Yes. And then the second actual donation to the school that we need approval for comes from Steve and Jessica Sauter, and they donated a shelving unit to Mrs. Olson's second grade class, as well as a new writing center shelving and table, a bouncy ball chair, and four stools to Mrs. Higginbotham's second grade. So we'll need approval for those.
I move to approve the donations.
I'll second that.
Moved by Linnea, second by Mike, to accept the donations as presented. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion by Mike, second by Lynn to adjourn. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.